your grace, for your life in this house, Lord Jesus. I thank you for that you are the God of miracles. You're the God of new beginnings. I thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, for your faithfulness endures forever. And Lord, we just honor you. We worship you. We bless your holy name. I pray, God, that you would anoint this word today. Give me words to speak. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, as it says in the Word of God. And I pray, God, that you would seal it on every person's heart and help it to bear much fruit in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to do one last thing. I forgot. Ellen and Tom, this amazing couple right here, if you could just, a few people can just gather around them and just stretch your arms to them. They just lost their granddaughter. She was fighting a battle with cancer. And she went to be home, she went to go home with the Lord. And so let's just pray over them. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, God, for this amazing couple right now. And we just release your refreshing over them. Lord, your word says that you are near to the brokenhearted. You're near to the brokenhearted, God. Your presence is so close. It's like a warm winter coat. And so we just release the tangible presence of God over you, the nearness of God, the closeness of the Father. God, I just pray that you would wipe away every tear, that you would turn the sorrow into joy. God, I just thank you, Lord. And just as Patrick was singing and he was declaring what the enemy meant for evil, you will turn it around for good. God, we can't see everything, but I know you will do something beautiful out of something crazy, out of something just so hurtful. I thank you, God, that you can make something beautiful out of this. And God, we just pray for beauty from ashes, beauty from ashes in this situation, God. And I just thank you for Alyssa's life and her legacy. I thank you, God, that she left a mark on this region. She left a mark on this entire place, on the Eastern Sierras. God, let her legacy live on. Let her legacy live on through this family. And I just pray, God, for grace in this family right now. Grace to endure, grace to continue to run. And I just pray just a strengthening and uplifting and just courage over you. And Ellen, I just bless you. And Tom, I bless you. And Father, just surround them with ministering angels. And we thank you, God. We thank you for this precious family. Protect their son and their daughter-in-law and protect their hearts. Insulate them, God. We just worship you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We thank you so much. Refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. Refreshing, refreshing, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you have a word for them, I'd encourage you to write it down and give it to them. Just bless them. And I know we prayed for Joyce last week, and there's just been tragedy. There's just been loss. But God is still good. You know, I know sometimes tragedy can happen and people can say, well, where's the Lord? Why didn't so-and-so get healed? And I don't have the answer to that. I know we live in a mystery, but I know that God's still a healer. And I know that he's still good. And so we can still lean into the goodness of God. We can still press into the faithfulness of God and just relax that we live in a mystery. And we don't have to have all the answers on this side of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you guys good? All right. I do have a message for you today, I promise. Turn in your book, in your Bible, to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. That is in the back of the Old Testament, a little bit before Matthew. I have a message that I want to share in about vision. I feel it's important to start this. We're starting a new decade. We're not just starting a new year, but we've literally just launched into a new decade. 2020. Isn't that wild? I mean, When I just saw that on New Year's Eve, I'm like, 2020, like this is just something special about this number. And God, what are you doing? What are you speaking to us? You know, and I know I've shared the obvious thing. I believe that God is giving us 2020 vision. I believe He's giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. I believe that, you know, and 20 and 20 together, that's 40. I believe we're going to enter our promised land. Amen. And deliverance. I believe it's a year of deliverance. But God just began to speak to me about this thing of vision. And so you can turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I just want to share this kind of interesting. But the Lord was kind of ministering to me in a funny way, which He usually does, and speaks to me in random ways. Sometimes I could be at the Avengers and I'll get a download from heaven. You know, I'm watching I've watched basketball games and God will speak to me and just give me the word of the Lord for my life. And so this particular occasion, I was with my son and my little precious little guy. He's with my wife in the back there. And he got this cool little birthday present called an adventure pack on his birthday. Somebody say adventure pack. And in his adventure pack, he had these binoculars. And he had a magnifying glass. He has a compass. He has a little bug catcher. He has all this cool boy stuff, right? And so I was like, I love his little adventure pack. And he puts it on his back and he goes in the backyard and he, you know, checks everything out. And he's looking for birds. He's looking for everything. And we go on a little walk and he gets his magnifying glass and he's looking at the bug up close and the spider, and the sisters are like, ew, yuck. And he's like, it's so cute. Boys are awesome. And so I was just watching him with his adventure bag, and God just kind of began to minister to me in that. He kind of started whispering in my ear that we as Christians need our adventure bag. We need to walk in this life with our adventure bag, if you will. And I was going to bring his little adventure bag, and I kind of forgot, but I'll just you can just visualize it with me. But the binoculars, I think the binoculars are so significant because, you know, many times we can walk through our life and we can kind of get stuck in a rut. We get stuck in familiarity. We get stuck in offense. We get stuck in bitterness. We get stuck in whatever these things are, and we're just kind of moping along. But it takes those spiritual binoculars to look beyond what your current situation is. You see, when my son, he sees a bird in a tree, and it's far off, but as soon as he puts those binoculars up, he can see it clearly. He can tell what color it is. He can see. He's like, wow, it's just beautiful. And he could see the leaves. He could see the mountains. He could see whatever he's trying to find as soon as he puts those binoculars. And this is the power of vision for our life. You see, vision, having a vision from the Lord, it helps us to get those spiritual binoculars. And we get our eyes off of ourselves, off of the mundane, off of our current situation. And we begin to look above. And we begin to look with the eyes of the eagle. Amen. And then there's this magnifying glass. And I'm like, well, that's cool. Well, I don't want a magnifying glass. But the Lord's like, no, you need a magnifying glass too. And the magnifying glass, see, and we'll get into the message, I promise. But the word, this is the message. We'll get into the Bible. But the binoculars represent vision. God gives us a vision. And the magnifying glass is what we use. See, the Bible says, I love the verse in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and find if there's any wicked way in me. See, there is a magnifying glass that comes by the Holy Spirit that will search our innermost being and search our heart. Search my heart, God. Is there anything in me that needs to be removed, that needs to be extracted, that needs to be delivered out of me? Search my heart, God. And so we can use this magnifying glass, not on other people. Well, see, I think that's the problem. Sometimes we get rid of our binoculars and we cruise around with magnifying glasses. We're like, hey, sister, I see something. I see something. I see some stuff in you. But God's like, I don't want you to use magnifying glass on people. I want you to use a magnifying glass on your own stuff. And I want you to use a magnifying glass on your own word. Because God gives us a personal vision. And so we hold this vision. And sometimes you can't. I can be a visionary sometimes. And I can see way out there. And my wife helps me to find the details. She's awesome. Praise the Lord for my wife, and praise the Lord for detailed people. And that's what a magnifying glass does. You shine the magnifying glass on your word, on your vision, and you can now begin to see the details. And you say, this is how I build. This is how I move into this word. This is how I move into this vision. Amen? Amen. We need the magnifying glass and the compass. See, once you get that word, once you get that vision, and now the compass is what you hold on to. And you say, I'm going north. I'm not going this way. I'm not going this way. I have the word. I'm holding the word. I've written it down, and I'm moving this way. Amen? Amen. I don't think you really need a bug catcher, but I can't really spiritualize that. So I don't. But Proverbs 29:18, it says what? It says, without vision, people cast off restraint. When there's no vision, people literally begin to cast off restraint. We see this in everything, in relationships, in marriages, in churches, in they cast it off. In the Message translation, it's awesome. It says, where there's no prophetic revelation, people will stumble all over themselves. Vision, prophetic revelation. What am I saying? Just God speaking to us. When we don't have the word of the Lord, the vision of God for our life, we begin to stumble. We begin to trip all over the place. Isaiah 43 is a great one as well. I'll read that really quick. What does it say? Isaiah 43, it says, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness, and I'll make rivers in the desert. See, God wants to do something new. But many times we can't see the new because we're constantly looking at the old. We're looking at the glory seasons. I mean, I have you ever like run into that person in high school that's like, it's been, you know, for me, it's, I don't know how many years it's been now. I don't know, 20 years or something. But I can run into certain individuals from high school and they're still talking like the football game or the such and such in from 1998 or 1997. Oh, man, do you remember? Wasn't that awesome? And I'm like, yeah, but what are you doing today, man? Like, what's exciting for your life today? Like, that was cool. That was awesome in 1995. And I'm so glad that we were the best, you know. I'm so glad that you remember that one party that was just over the top. But what about today? And what about our life today? What about our families? What about our church? You know, and so I think it's, we can look at the glory days. We can look at the past. But God's saying, no, what is in front of you? And I'll tell you what's in front of you, because he says, I'm doing something new. Something's going to spring forth. I'm going to make a road in the wilderness, and I'm going to make rivers in the desert. That's what the Lord is doing. Amen. And so but he wants us to have vision. So you say vision. Mark, brother. He wants us to have vision. He wants us to be able to see clearly. And how many of you know that sometimes, and I know this personally, there's been times in my life where I can see, but maybe I can't see that clearly. Have you ever experienced that? You can see, but you can't see that clearly. I'll give you an example. I was, in 2008, I was getting married. We had our wedding, and it was awesome. And I remember people were doing the toast. They were toasting us, and they were giving the speeches and stuff. And it was just, you know, I don't know, I got 175 people are looking at me. I just started getting emotional, you know. And my dad starts talking, and he just starts sharing some stuff that I didn't think he was or know he was going to share. And I start crying. And 175 people are looking at me. I'm like, I'm not going to cry. I'm not crying right now. And so I'm like, I'm just going to casually wipe my eye with my sleeve. So I just do this little, And as I do that, and I'm wearing contacts. Sometimes I got my contacts. And so I rub my eye, and my contact flies out. I'm like, no. I'm like, I can't see. And I'm like, honey, I just knocked off my contact. I can't see that good. And so now for the rest of the speeches, for the rest of the people giving their toast, I'm more worried about my vision. I'm like, I have blurred vision now. I can't see. I can't see the banqueting table. I can't see the cake anymore. You know, because it's, even if you have one good eye, but when you have one bad eye, it kind of distorts everything. And so this is where I was. And it was a funny situation, because then somebody ended up coming up to me, this lady, maybe you know her, Lena Myers. She heard the whole situation, Spencer's mom. And she said, "Hey, I heard you dropped your contact." And I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Use mine." And I'm like, "Huh?" I'm like, "That's weird. I'm not going to put your contact." And she's, just try it. I think maybe we have the same vision. I'm like, "Whatever. It's my wedding. I'll try." And so I put her contact in, and it worked. So I was like, "Woo!" Like, this is weird, but hallelujah, I can see for my wedding. And it was a good reception. God wants us to have vision. He wants us to have vision, 2020 vision, in whatever we're doing, in our lives, in our businesses, in our families, in our marriages. He wants us to have 2020 vision, not half vision, not a partial vision, but a real deep vision. Amen. As you know, I have glasses, and so I've been to the eye doctor a few times since I was in seventh grade or so. And you know that when you go to the eye doctor, they'll tell you certain things. And I will get to Habakkuk. We're getting there. They'll tell you certain things, right? They'll tell you if you're nearsighted. They'll tell you if you're farsighted. They'll tell you these different things. And you know, if you're nearsighted, you can just see what's in front of you. You can't see far away. And so I think sometimes this can happen in the spiritual realm. Sometimes we get so focused on what's in front of us. We get so focused on the job at hand that we cannot see what the Lord is doing. We almost put away those binoculars, if you will, and we're so focused on this that we become spiritually nearsighted, and we have no vision for our tomorrow. We have no vision for our destiny. Like, all those things that used to get us excited, we just kind of put those on the back burner. And so we become spiritually nearsighted. The doctor could also say, the eye doctor could say, "Well, you are farsighted. You can see things that are at a distant." Right? You can see things far away, but you can't see things up close. Or no, farsighted. You can only see things distant. Yeah? Clearly. And so I think sometimes people, we can, you know, like myself, I can tend to be, I could be a dreamer. I could be a visionary. But if all I'm doing is looking out there and I'm not stewarding what's here, then there's a problem. See, I can't live in tomorrow and not be a good steward of today. God wants me to be present today. He wants me to be present in my family. He wants me to be present in my relationships and present in my children's life. And I can't be like so caught up in way in the future that I forget about today. See, we cannot be nearsighted and farsighted. We need to have perfect 2020. And then there's tunnel vision. How many ever had tunnel vision? So you're just, it's just this narrow, it's like this. It's just, all I could see is just this tunnel, this just little vein of what's going on. And many times we get like that too. It's like, I can't see, there's just too much going on in my life right now. And so I have a very limited view of what the Lord is doing. I have a very limited view of the vision of God for my life. Tunnel vision. I'm helping somebody today. Yeah. Colorblind. There's colorblind people. And talk to women, they'll just say all men are colorblind. But I don't know. Like, that red shirt looks awesome, honey. It's not red. Oh. Is this red? Okay. Just joking. So people can be colorblind too. And colorblind is like everything kind of mixes and matches, and it's like it's just gray and black, and it's this and that. And we can get this way in the church. We can say, oh, you know, and how do we do that? How do we become colorblind in the church? And as Christians, we say, oh, I went to church on Sunday. I don't really need to join a small group. I went to church and I prayed. So why would I have to pray during the week? Why would I have to worship when Patrick just led a beautiful set of worship? Why would I have to worship on my own? Why would I have to read my Bible? Why would I have to have fellowship? And so everything becomes blurred and kind of colorblind. But God wants us to have what? 2020. 2020. Somebody say 2020. So vision is seen tomorrow while you're standing in your today. It's seeing clearly tomorrow while you're standing in today, not neglecting today, stewarding today, but it being able to see what's happening in your tomorrow. It's the binoculars and it's the magnifying glass. Come on. I heard this quote. This is good. A man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. Come on. Vision is, you want to hear that again? A man without a vision is a man without a future. And a man without a future will always return to his past. Vision is seeing the end from the beginning. Come on. Vision will give you direction. It gives you direction in your life. Vision, a real vision from the Lord, it will evoke passion. And say, I don't have passion in my life anymore. Then you don't have a vision. Because I believe if you have a real vision and a real word from the Lord, it draws passion out of us. It will evoke passion out of you. It motivates you. Say, motivate. A vision, a real vision for your life, a personal vision will motivate you to do the right things. Come on, Don. I'm thinking of you and your health journey, right? A vision helps you to prioritize your life and your time. And it helps to discipline your actions and your behavior. Vision. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, what's my vision? Say, what's your vision? So that brings me to Habakkuk. Finally, Habakkuk. And I love this book so much. It's got so much in it. And we have Habakkuk speaking to the Lord, and he's asking questions of the Lord, and we see God's replying to him, and he's asking a second question, and I love what it says in chapter 2. But I'm going to start in verse 1. I know typically we start, or people would start in chapter 2, verse 2, but I want you to listen to verse 1 for a moment. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I will stand my watch, and I will set myself on the rampart. That's also translated tower. I will set myself on the tower and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Come on. I got a word from 2:1. I will stand my watch. See, I believe that vision really begins, and it starts in us when we choose. See, Habakkuk is saying, I will stand. I will listen. He is choosing that he wants something greater. I want a different reality. I am choosing, I am desiring a different reality right now. And so what am I going to do? I will stand. I will listen. It is a desire for something greater in your life. It starts with a desire. I'm tired of living like this. Maybe for the addict, for the alcoholic, I'm tired of doing this, going around the mountain. I'm tired of whatever that thing is that you keep bumping into. It starts with a desire. Come on. And then it says this. Stand. I will stand my watch, and I will set myself on the rampart, on the tower. That word tower, it is in other translations. It's not in my New King James, but it is in other translations. And the word tower actually means a fenced place. It means a secret place. It means a solitary, quiet place. It means a contained place with no distraction. Come on. A tower. So what is Habakkuk saying? So all this stuff is happening. And if you know the time, this is when shortly after Babylon invaded and just brought absolute desolation and destruction to the land. And so Habakkuk's saying, I need to stand. I need to listen. I need to remove the distractions right now because there's a lot of stuff swirling and moving around me right now. And so what does he say? I'm going to set myself in my secret place. What is the secret place? We know the secret place is our prayer closet. The secret place is our devotion with the Lord. It is our time with God. And it is that sacred time of prayer and fellowship and worship and communion with the Lord. And so Habakkuk's saying, I'm going to set myself apart. I'm going to move myself into the secret place because I have to get a word. Vision always starts with the secret place. A vision for your life will always start, always, not sometimes, always start in prayer. If we want a vision for the Lord, we have to come back to prayer. We've got to be a praying church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Vision will always be birthed in prayer. And I love that. It's a contained place with no distraction. That's what we're doing right now. We're fasting and we're trying to remove distractions. We're trying to remove the social media, remove the things that entice you and draw you this way and draw you that way. We want to remove the distractions and so we can get into that secret place and say, God, what are you saying to me? This is a new year. This is a new decade. What are you saying over my life, over my family? Because God wants us to have a vision. Are you tracking with me? Yeah. So God will give us the blueprints for our life. He'll give us the blueprints in the secret place. Amen. Verse 2, it says, then the Lord answered me and he said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Ha. So vision, he's saying, okay, just get this with me. Many people ask, how do I get a vision for my life? Do I read a book on vision? Do I listen to a podcast? All those things are great. They're great. There's nothing wrong with them. But vision, a real vision, is going to come when we get alone with the Lord. It has to start with removing distractions and saying, I'm going to literally set myself in my quiet place and I'm going to listen to the Lord. And when he speaks, I'm going to write it. Habakkuk said, I know you're going to speak to me. I'm going to set myself apart. And when you speak, I'm not just going to listen. I'm not going to let it just go over my head. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write it down on tablets. I'm going to make this thing plain. And the Lord said, write it so you can run. Why? Because there's going to be confusion coming. There's going to be maybe some stuff that you don't understand. And that's when you get to whip out your compass and you say, but I got a word. I got a vision. I know where I'm going. And this is crazy, but it says go this way. You need your compass. And the compass is the word of the Lord, the vision of God for your life. Hallelujah. See, it's going to take faith. It's going to take action to see your vision come to pass. And just I love that verse where it says, the just shall live by his faith. This just kind of a side note. I was reading my Bible. This is so good. But it says that in the commentary in the bottom, it says, Moses gave Israel 613 commandments. David reduced that down to 10. Isaiah reduced that down to 2. And Habakkuk brought it down to 1. The just shall live by his faith. Come on. There's something powerful about that. Living by faith. So God will speak to us. We write the vision down. We make it plain so that we can see. So that now becomes the compass for our life. But then it actually, at some point, we have to have some action. I mean, what if the Lord spoke to Noah and he's like, Noah, build a boat. And he's like, yes, hallelujah. That's an awesome word. And what if he just told everybody about his word? Guys, like, the Lord told me to build a boat. And they're like, sweet. It's going to rain. What's rain? I don't know. It's never rained before. And what if he just talked about it and talked about it and talked about it and he never put action? Then nothing would have happened. You see, the God is always requiring us to participate with the word. So he will speak something that is so supernatural. And he says, I want you to participate. Just do the little bit that you can. And so get your hammer and get your nails and just start building that boat. And I'm going to send the rain. I'm going to send the flood. And this happens throughout Scripture. It's happened throughout history. It's happened in your life and it's happened in my life. And God is wanting and requiring us to put action to the word of the Lord. Amen? So what's God speaking? What is the personal vision for your life? And if you haven't received one, you're like, yeah, I got one in 1984. It was awesome. Yeah. God spoke to me. It was so clear. A light came. It was like this Damascus Road experience. Praise God. Write a book about it. That's awesome. But you need, this is 2020. And I think maybe the vision from 1984 is done. I think the vision from 1994 is done. Maybe parts of it can continue on, but this is 2020, and God is constantly speaking. He's a speaking God. And so why wouldn't we want to press into Him and say, Lord, this is a new time, this is a new decade, what would You say over my family? What would You want to say over me, over our church, over this entire region? What are You saying over Mammoth Mountain? Come on. What are You speaking in this season, Lord? Hallelujah. So He speaks the word, and then we get to walk out the word by faith. And I love this in, if you turn to the back of Habakkuk in chapter 3, and I won't keep you too long. We got some great football games today. The Chiefs are on at 12:05. Come on. Jeez. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. This is so good because I love this. It says this is faith right here. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. Not my high heels, but my high hills. Somebody's like, see, it's in the Bible, high heels. He'll make me walk on my high hills. Hills. This is awesome. It's prophetic. It's faith. Because again, here's Habakkuk. He says, I'm gonna go on my secret place. He gets in his secret place. God speaks to him. He gives him the vision. He says, write the vision down. Now he has a vision. He has a vision. But once again, remember, Babylon has destroyed. And they've brought captivity, they've brought slavery, they've destroyed the land, they've destroyed everything. Now he's talking about it. There's no fruit in the land. There's no cattle, there's nothing. Everything, it's no longer a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a land of destruction and desolation. And he's walking, and the thing that I love about this is he's not moved by what he sees. He's not moved by what he sees, and he's not moved by what he doesn't see. He's only moved by what the Lord has told him. Yes. And that becomes the compass for your life, and you begin to move. And this person's mad at me over here. This person's offended. This person's frustrated. This person's got some beef with me. Whatever, you know, all the stuff that begins to swirl, and we want to get our magnifying glass, and we want to make everything better, and it just makes it worse. Because the problems get larger. We don't need our problems bigger. We need our God to be bigger. And that's going to happen when we get our compass and say, You've spoken to me, Lord. I know where I'm going. Oh yeah, I got binoculars. I got a vision from God. I have a personal vision for my family, for my own life. We know where we're going. And then you can sing, and you can sing a song of faith. And Habakkuk's like, yeah, I know this land looks dead. I know everything looks dead. Everywhere I'm walking is dead, dead, dead. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. He's my strength. He makes my feet like deer's feet. And he makes me walk in high heels. High heels. I'm going to say that every time now. Come on. But listen to the word. Listen to the word that God spoke to him. He said, this vision is for an appointed time. It will tarry, but it will not lie. Wait for it. See, a lot of times I think we want our word now. We're like, I got the word. I got the vision. Give it. I want it. I want it now. I get songs on my phone in like 30 seconds. Why can't you give it to me in 30 seconds, Lord? Like you created this world. But it doesn't work that way. There's a process to everything. And there's different things that the Lord is doing, and we need to be able to wait upon the Lord. Wait on the Lord, as it says, and he will renew your strength. He'll give you wings, mount up on wings of eagles. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And so what is the vision for your life, and what's the vision that he's given to you for 2020? And if you haven't begun to written that down, I would encourage you, get a vision for your life personally, because I believe with that, greater passion is going to come in this season. Commitment. Everything that you have been lacking in the last season of your life, it's there. It's right there. God wants us to walk in great vision and 2020 vision. And so, you know, there's different kind of vision. We're going to wrap up in a second. If Patrick, I want to bring him here. Somebody go grab him and shake him and bring him in here. He's going to play, but it's also his birthday, so come on. We're going to sing to him. I'm not going to make him sing his own birthday song. Sing to yourself. There's different types of vision, and so I wanted to encourage us to have a personal vision for our life, but I want to also remind us that there is this thing called a corporate vision. And a corporate vision is what we get to link up with in the house of the Lord. And this is Church on the Mountain. This is an amazing church that was started over 50 years ago in Paul and Joyce Rowan's house. Just these people that came together, you know, I'm not going to call you a hippie, but I know that there was hippies that were coming. There was ones that were being drawn to you guys, and a revival began to happen, and a move of God began to happen right here in Mammoth Lakes and Crowley Lake, and God began to move in 1970 and 72, and so there's this beautiful heritage that I'm just so thankful for you and your husband and many others that have paved the way, but there's something fresh that God is wanting to speak into us and wanting us to link up to for 2020. I mean, he's got to have something new for us, right? What is happening as we turn the page into a new chapter for our life and a new chapter for this season? And so I was just praying into our church and the vision, and I feel like it's very simple, but I feel like the Lord gave me something for our church. Can we just sing happy birthday to this guy real quick? Come on. I'm going to interrupt my message for this special broadcast. Let's just sing to this amazing birthday boy real quick. You know, I'm honored to call this man a friend, and I've gotten the opportunity to do ministry with him in Mongolia. We traveled over there in 2007, and we got to do a huge youth conference and for 1,000-plus teenagers, and we saw God just do amazing things in that nation, and we got to partner again in Wyoming and do conference over there. We did this little thing called Thirsty Thursdays, where God just began to show up and just invade people's lives. And And I'm just so thankful that I get to run with him in Church of the Mountain. I'm so thankful that he is here and the Lord has brought him here for such a time as this. And I just bless you, Patrick, on this new season. I bless the music that is going to come out of your life and the new oil that will come out of your songs, that will come out of your words, that will come out of your hands. Father, I just thank you for the prophetic song that will break yokes off of people's lives. God, I thank you for songs of destiny, songs of courage, and songs of hope. And God, I thank you, God, for a father. You've called him as a father. He is a natural father, but I just thank you for it. He is a spiritual father. And I thank you that he will raise up musicians, God. He will raise up worshipers, God, just as David did. And I just release just a blessing in this new year, in this new season. God, let 2020 be his best year yet. And we just celebrate him. We love him. We thank you, God, for his commitment, his dedication, and all that he has sown into this house. And we bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so, he's going to play that song that he sang a minute ago. There's something on it. But the Lord was speaking to me this week, before this week, about our church. And I just want to share it really quickly and we'll end. But I felt like the Lord said something very simple. He just said this. He said, the vision is in the name. I said, what? He said, the vision is in the name. I said, what does that mean? And I just began to pray into that for a minute. And I began to write some stuff down on paper. And it was weird because I didn't write on paper Church on the Mountain. I just wrote COTM, which it's just everybody calls it COTM. I mean, look at my coffee cup. It says COTM. And I wrote that down. And immediately as I penned those letters on the paper, the Lord spoke to me exactly what that was to mean. And so C, I feel like these are things that God is calling us to be intentional about in this season of 2020 and even in this new decade. See, C is not just for church, but C is community. And I feel like the Lord is saying, I want you to be super intentional about community in 2020. I want you to lean into this thing. This is going to be something that is going to mark Church on the Mountain. Because many times in mountain areas, I'll just be honest. And it's not just in this place, but it's in all the Eastern Sierras. I've noticed Christians can be cliquey. And God does not want that. He wants us to have a deep fellowship and community with one another. And community is going to start in many different ways. It's going to start with us just being intentional with each other, saying, hey, bro, I want to go to coffee with you. I want to have a meal with you. I want to get to know you more. Let's just do life together. I wouldn't maybe normally invite you to coffee, but we go to church together. There's got to be something awesome about your life. It's just being intentional with the ones that are in the room with us. And then the second thing is this thing called small groups, which we feel very strongly about because we're so scattered across, we got people in June Lake and Mammoth and Crowley and Bishop and sometimes Big Pine, sometimes Levine. So we're scattered everywhere. And so how do we become intentional about relationship building? We begin to join groups of 4 to 5, 6 people, and we begin to have koinonia. We begin to have real deep fellowship and intimacy and begin to pray for each other, and we see a bond that cannot be broken. Come on. Community is also built in serving. It's serving. I can tell you the times that I have felt most connected to churches that I've attended to is when I began to serve. I began to serve in kids ministry. God, I'm not called to kids ministry, but there's a need. And I'm in this family. And I'm going to do it. I didn't have kids at the time, but I recognized that there was a need. And so I'm going to serve because there's a need and this is my church family. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to get my hands dirty. I'm going to serve. And in the serving, you begin to get connected to other people. And you begin to feel a part of the family. And so serving helps you feel a part of community. We want to press into community. I'm just being real. So COTM. The second thing is O, outreach. For those that are visiting, I'm sorry. I just got to speak this and we'll touch more on it next week. But we're almost done. O is for outreach. Say outreach. See, God has just been really speaking to me in this last couple months, and I feel that He really wants us to be very proactive in reaching the lost. We do a great job of reaching Christians, and churches do a great job of reaching Christians, but what about the broken, and what about the hurting, and what about those that have nobody to believe in them? Now, I want to be intentional about reaching people in Mammoth, reaching those that are just strung out on drugs and broken in broken relationships and just got a bad diagnosis and whatever is happening. I want to be there. I want to reach them in real practical ways. And I want to reach people in Crowley in real practical ways and in Bishop in real physical practical ways. You know, we want to have a greater presence in the nations, and we're working and with people like our friend Soto from Mongolia to have a greater presence over there in Mongolia. We want to have bases, not just send teams here and there, but we want to have literal bases where we're helping to end human trafficking, where we're helping to feed the hungry and make a difference in the world. Somebody say amen. I think the thing that the Lord has been speaking to me is we've been maintaining for a long time. Now it's time to take ground. I feel like that, and that's kind of the word over 2020 is take ground. Move out and take ground. And so God is just, there's been so many prophetic words over this house for 50 years. There's been words over my life for a long time. One of those words that has been spoken over me, and it was even a dream even before I got the word, but it was to start a facility that would be kind of like a dream center. And then Michael Dalton came one time, even before I was pastor, and he said, "You're going to start a dream center." I said, "Come on." Thank you, Lord. And so we have a plan. We don't have any, we have a dream, I should say. We have a dream. There's no plan. There's nothing in writing yet. We have a dream to start a dream center, to start something where people can get ministered to, where they can be fed, where they can be clothed, where they can be equipped, where it can be a blessing to the community. We want to start something that is real, that is tangible, that is actually an outreach center, not an inreach center. We have a lot of stuff happening here, but we want to bless and touch the lost and the broken. And so just pray into that with us. There's just great stuff. So community, outreach, the T is for training. We believe that this is an apostolic church. It has been since 1972. And in apostolic places, there is equipping, there is training. And so we will continue to do that through seminars and through conferences and through Bible studies and through other means. But that is a mandate on this house. And it's not a mandate on every church, but it is on our church. And so that's something that we want to lean into in 2020 is training people. And the last thing, which is I'm most excited about, this should be the first thing, but I'm just going with the letters and how God spoke it to me. M, magnifying the Lord. And this has been so strong in my spirit. And I feel like the Lord is saying, prayer and worship has to be everything in this church. That it is not on the side. It is not just something that we do when stuff's going wrong. It's not just an afterthought. But it is the furnace of the church. It is the very foundation of everything that we do. And so this is something that in this new year, in this new decade, that we are really going to become very intentional about. Having more prayer nights and prayer times of corporate prayer, of intercession, where we can gather and begin to intercede for our cities and intercede for families and cry out for the lost and just be intentional about this. Prayer works. And the other thing is worship. There's something about just sitting in the presence of God. There's something about magnifying the Lord. And so we want to make space for God in this house. We want to make room for the Lord. So we're gonna start with a night, a week in the near future where we're taking about a 4-hour window, and all we're doing is worshiping. People, if they want to lay down, if they want to sit with their Bible open and read scriptures, you could do that. But we are going to worship, and we're going to soak in the presence of God. And stuff will always happen when there is a house of prayer and a house of worship. You go to the scriptures and you see the significance of worship in Israel. As David began to institute worship, as they began to worship 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, Israel was a healthy state. It was the healthiest it had ever been when there was worship and prayer. And so we want to be a people of prayer. We want to be a people of worship. And this is the foundation. And this is what I believe God is calling us into. This is who we are. This is where we're going. And I felt like God said to put it, it's in the name, because I want everybody to remember it. Sometimes you could forget things. Oh, what are we doing? I don't know. What's the vision? What's the thing that we're leaning into? But it's in the name. It's in COTM. You will not forget. And so let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing a song. And I just want you to close your eyes with me. And I know we've been talking for a while, but I feel God is speaking to individuals in this place. And I feel like He wants to just drop some vision in for your life personally. We're going to just sing this song. Father, I thank You. I thank You for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in this day, Father. And I just thank You, God, for all anxiety in this place leaving. You know, anxiety comes when we don't know what's up next. And anxiety tries to grip our heart because fear of the unknown. And so, God, I thank You that all anxiety and fear is being removed out of this house in Jesus' name, removed from our relationships and our marriages. God, I pray that You would breathe on us once again. Breathe on us once again, Lord Jesus. Breathe on every individual, God, at every heart. Lord, let us have a passion. Let us have a vision for You. Let us have a vision, God, for this new season of our life, personal vision. God, let our hearts be burning, blazing, hot red fire for You, Jesus. God, let this be the season where we once again, like the song said, let me fall in love. I want to fall in love with You all over again, God. I want to fall in love with You again. All the distractions being removed in Jesus' name. So I believe as we just worship just for a few moments, I believe the Lord is going to really minister to you as only He can and just speak to you by His Holy Spirit.
I remember when all I knew to do was sing Your name. And I remember when all I longed to do was give You praise. All about one thing. I want to fall. light the fire in us, Jesus, light the first love fire, come and be my one desire, Jesus, light the first love fire, come and be my one desire, Jesus, light the first love fire, come and be my one desire, Jesus, light the first love fire, come and be my one desire. Back to the start where it was all about one thing. I want to fall in love with you again. Jesus, you have proven your love. Where else would I want to be than with you? Oh my God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Your way is perfect. Your way is pleasing. Where else would I want to be?
Father, we just thank you for this day. Jesus, light that fire, that first love fire, light it again in us, that we would burn bright for you. We just commit ourselves to you this day. We say, Jesus, we love you. We want to serve you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. We love you with everything in us. God, I just pray you would bless every family, bless every person in this church and everybody that's traveling right now, everybody that's listening, everybody that's going home. I pray blessings and protection and covering over every single person in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We're just going to keep worshiping just for a few minutes, but I just bless you. Thank you for coming today. And if you need prayer for anything, come up front. If you just want to worship, go ahead, but you're free to go. God bless you. Have a beautiful day.